get some water, love, please?
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad... All right, I'm back. I gotta catch my breath. I've been so short of breath. excuse me. All right, maybe I shouldn't be back. I've been fighting this thing, and I've been off the air last 2 days to try to recover. And ivermectin. What else am I on? Zinc, C, D, and some kind of antibiotic. So that's the deal. But I'm back. It's horrible. I'm preaching to the choir because I'm sure most all of you have it. And you just have to push through. The problem is I just took a bunch of medication about an hour before on the air. And one of the side effects of it, it makes you nauseous. So the zinc particularly makes you nauseous. But the ivermectin opens up the cell, and the zinc gets in there, and the zinc, thank you, babe, the zinc kills the virus. But that zinc will definitely make you feel nauseous. Anyway, I'm back. Thank you for all the emails and the text. Melissa's doing better. And... I'm a firm believer in ivermectin. I tried fighting it off on my own for better part of a week. Didn't work. Just can't do it. So I hope any of you that have it have a medical doctor that is not an idiot, because the vast majority of them out there are idiots, according to the medical doctors themselves. They will kill you. When the medical doctors tell you these guys are incompetent boobs, they're brainwashed, don't go to the hospital, they'll kill you, you better pay attention. That's my opinion. And the number of medical doctors trying to push the COVID death shot onto my relatives is criminal. So unfortunately, some of you don't have doctors that will prescribe things that will make you well. And I don't know where... what people would do don't have ivermectin and don't have HCQ or these other things to try to get past this. And particularly for those of us, you know, in the 50 plus category, it can become an issue. And of course, that's a little different when you finally reach the age where the doctors say, well, being in your age category, and you're like, really? I'm only 52. But apparently, I'm in that age category. Any of us that are over 50, we're in that age category now, as young as we might want to think we are. I guess we're now in a more of a risk category, and you have to, or unlike Logan, who's, you know, what is he, 19, fought it off like a trooper in 2 days. No big deal. It just seems to really impact us older folks much, much worse. But anyway, all right, how you doing, Dalton?
Better now with you back.
Better with me back? Wasn't it better when you just run reruns and not have to deal with me?
Well. We're glad you're back.
We're glad.
Even if you're coughing.
Even if I'm hacking and acting like I'm about to fall over dead. Yeah. I was actually doing just fine until I moved up the stairs too fast. And it gave me shortness of breath and then added to the zinc. I don't know why I agreed to take zinc an hour ago. Should not have agreed to do that. Not to mention the big horse pill of antibiotics. And I had a banana to try to, you know, put something on the stomach. But, man, I tell you. You've not had this thing, Dalton?
Probably have.
You know a lot of people have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got it. Just others are getting it worse than others, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, is J.D. Rucker with us?
He is.
Hey, J.D.
Hello.
How you doing?
You sound rough there. You gonna make it?
Yeah.
You need to cover your show for you?
Yeah, well, that's partly why you're here. I'm actually better than I was. You know, I was off the air for 2 days trying to actually recover. I had zero energy. And again, I'm not complaining because there are we open the phone lines up. I'm sure they'll light up with everybody and their grandmother that's got it, fighting it, or got a relative or spouse or kid that's got it. It zaps you of your energy. You have no energy. You're down for the count. You don't even want to move. Getting up and getting a shower, getting dressed, literally required going back to bed and taking a nap. I mean, that it's pathetic. You're like, what? Is there something you can take to get your energy back? But after about 24 hours on ivermectin, I started seeing the turn. And 48 hours later, you know, it was a big, big difference. I'll tell you, though, this what really concerns me, JD, is the long-term consequences of this bioweapon. I said to Dr. Peter McCullough a couple nights ago, because I was off air, completely TV and radio for 2 days. When I was back, I was last time on the air, it was Monday. I said to Dr. Peter McCullough, what what is the long-term consequences of this? Because this bioweapon, the variant, so-called Omicron, has spike proteins in it, right? And he said, yeah. And he said, I had it over the holidays, talking about himself. And he said, I thought about that. I thought, you know, I had probably just wiped out the and flushed out the spike proteins from having had COVID. And now you get this, and now they're back. Well, if you and I have the spike proteins in us now, even though we've not taken the shot, now we're at risk of it damaging our heart, our kidneys, our liver, our major organs, autoimmune disease, cancer. I mean, what is going to be the long-term consequences? And I'll tell you what really makes me angry, that we allowed Fauci to be involved in funding this gain of function, be involved in helping develop this, and the man has not been tried, put on trial, and dealt with. And what also makes me angry is that our government has allowed China to attack us with a bioweapon, and we've done nothing. Nothing. You want to comment?
You have every right to be angry about it. But here's the thing, is that, you know, as bad as it is, okay, as bad as all of this is, we still aren't sure what the end game is. And that's the part that should concern us the most. It may be something, I think, there's at least a chance, it may be something that is, you know, I guess, a prelude to something much worse. You know, this is supposed to be the harmless version, I guess you could say. And if that's the case, then we have much, much greater concerns in the future. But if this is the, you know, if this is the full-blown bioweapon that's been released, and what we're seeing is the end result, then okay, fine. You know, we can take that, we can move on, but we do have to learn from it, and that's the important thing. If I'm leaning in one direction or the other, I would say that, yeah, things are probably going to get worse, you know, whether this was just for conditioning purposes or to cull the herd or to, you know, I've heard some people say that between the coronavirus itself and the vaccines, that they're both, you know, call it a primer paint for the big one that's going to come later. So I am sorry that you got it. It is bad, but I would say that everything that I've heard so far, you're talking about, you know, long-term effects to the heart and to the lungs and everything. Everything that I've seen so far indicates that the vaccines actually have a much harsher long-term effect. So if you're going to have one or the other, it's better to get COVID than to get the vaccine.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. And what do you make of those reports from the war room, Steve Bannon's group, of people in China in a city of 10 million locked down, screaming from their windows for food and bleeding from the eyes and nose? What do you make of these reports?
So everything, you know, when we do lockdowns, you can say whatever you want about Fauci. Fauci is evil, but, you know, he still has checks and balances. He still is a bureaucrat. And he's not an emperor. He's not a dictator. He's not the dear leader. So he still has to at least make sense to other people, you know, whether it's Trump or Biden or anybody else that he's talking to. He has accountability. The Chinese Communist Party does not. And so as a result, they don't have to justify anything that they do. That tells us that everything that they do is based around self-preservation or advancement of their cause. So when you see a lockdown like that, that tells us one of two things. Either they are hiding something Okay, they don't care about locking down the people. They don't care how many people die. If 10 million out of 10 million die, then they'll just figure out some way to blame the United States, or they'll pretend like it never happened. Okay, so either they're hiding something bad, or I've heard a lot of buzz on the you know, whatever you want to call it, the dark web, saying that they're actually experimenting on the next phase of whatever this bioweapon agenda is. And then that's the part that, again, should probably concern us a lot. If they are taking, you know, a bunch of people who have now been infected or been vaccinated or both, and now they're going after the next level of whatever it is they have planned, well, that's pretty concerning.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, let's switch over to Ted Cruz. Now, this audience, those who follow me regularly, know that I have never been a fan of Ted Cruz. I've never trusted Ted Cruz. I don't like Ted Cruz. There's something to me that's super creepy about Ted Cruz. I don't like the man. My radar goes off, red flags go flying. Other people chose to trust him, to like him, to support him. It's a free country. But I told you not to trust him. I wrote the book, The Coming Religious Reich. I think it came out in 2015, maybe 16. And I had a huge section on Ted Cruz in 2015 in that book. I warned of his promoting the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is full on globalism. I warned about his globalist banking wife. I went into great detail about why we cannot trust Ted Cruz, who also wanted to bring more illegals into America and is on video promoting it. So I warned everybody about Ted Cruz. Not only the fact the man is unelectable, okay? He's unelectable beyond the seat that he has, okay? The American people don't like him. Most Americans in the Republican Party don't like him. But for whatever reason, some people do, and it's a free country. But it wasn't the warning signs haven't been there all along. Well, now Ted Cruz has revealed exactly his colors. And J.D., you've got a great article over at NOQReport.com, NOQReport.com. Ted Cruz betrays America, sides with Marxists over January 6th. So Ted Cruz has thrown America under the bus and sided with the Marxist.
Yep. That he has, and it's pretty ugly. So for those who didn't see the clip, I recommend you watch. And I recommend you watch the entire clip, because a lot of times, you know, we'll get snippets and we'll react to it, and it turns out that in context, it wasn't nearly as bad as we had thought. You know, we saw that with the whole Covington Catholic school kids. You know, I think that a lot of people, even conservatives, were annoyed with the kids based on that very first, you know, 8-second video where it looks like he's coming up to Phillips, and, you know, basically blocking him. But it was the other way around. You know, Phillips was the instigator. We learned that once we saw the entire context of the video. And essentially, you know, he did nothing wrong, right? So now, fast forward to Ted Cruz, and, you know, you hear the entire context. And I was looking forward to finding that it wasn't exactly what it sounded like. Well, guess what? It was exactly what it sounded like. He was saying the people who were there last year, 1 year ago today, on January 6th in the Capitol, that the people that were involved in any way were essentially terrorists. Now, that's not exactly the type of term that you throw around loosely. You know, you might want to say, you could be loose about, oh, you know, they were enraged, which I think a lot of them were. You could say that they were, you know, being pushed to do some lukewarm bad actions, which I think they were, based upon, you know, the whole deep state conspiracy, as well as Antifa participating in trying to instigate violence. But to say that they were terrorists, that's a leftist talking point.
Well, let's pick it up right there. We come back, including play the audio of Ted Cruz. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Worldviewradio.com. And J.D. Rucker is with me. His website, noqreport.com. noqreport.com. Let's go to the audio and the video of Ted Cruz siding with the Marxist and calling patriotic Americans and Trump supporters terrorists. Again, finally, everyone can now acknowledge what we were trying to warn them about in 2015 regarding Ted Cruz. In my opinion, he's a snake. He's controlled opposition. He should never be trusted.
Senator King, and next up, Senator Cruz. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chief, welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you for your service. And I want to start by thanking the heroic service of the men and women who serve alongside you. We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol. We are grateful for that courage. We appreciate the selfless sacrifice of the men and women who keep us safe. And I will say, my view is that anyone who commits an act of violence should be prosecuted. And anyone who assaults a law enforcement officer should go to jail for a very long time. And I think that's a principle that is true regardless of the politics of the violent criminal, whether they are right wing, left wing, or they got no wings at all. If you assault a cop, you ought to go to jail for a long, long time. And I hope we get some agreement that that should be true regardless of the political context that ostensibly and purportedly justifies that violence, that we will stand with the men and women of blue. So I thank you for your service. I thank the men and women who serve with you for their service.
Thank you.
As we reflect on what happened a year ago, it is also worth asking, as we have, as this committee has, as Congress has, as I know you have, what could have been done differently? All right, J.D., is that the bulk of it?
That is. That's everything you need to hear. You know, there is one part. The only thing that you're missing is there is a part where he does say, and I think this is in an attempt to redeem himself, he does say that he believes that the Pelosi, deep state, January 6th, committee is wrong in what they're doing. Okay, so, but that's not directly addressing, you know, his statement of a terrorist. That's basically just saying, hey, you know, they shouldn't be going after all these other people that weren't involved. But he still is condemning the people, the 700 people, plus people who have been charged, arrested, you know, held as political prisoners in D.C. He's still calling them terrorists. He's not acknowledging that this was, in many ways, I'm not saying it's 100%. There was a lot of passion involved. Okay, so it's not like, oh, they were, you know, MAGA people were forced to go enter the Capitol building. No, but they were egged on. They were egged on by a very concerted effort by the deep state, by law enforcement, in many cases, and by Antifa, as we've seen multiple, you know, hours of video of people, you know, whether it's the Ray S's of the world or whoever, that were participating in this supposed insurrection in which there were no guns involved, at least not in the part of the insurrectionists. And they were casually walking through the Capitol, making sure not to break the rope line there. Not, they weren't rushing through. They were. This was shenanigans for the most part. And when he says that people who commit acts of violence against others should be prosecuted, I would hope that he's talking, and I know he's not, but I wish he was talking about Michael Byrd, who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt 1 year ago today. That person should be arrested, charged, prosecuted, and jailed. Instead, he's out there. He's probably writing a book as we speak. Okay, he's living free. He wasn't even charged, let alone prosecuted and convicted. And he killed Ashley Byrd, who was unarmed at the time, and who was not a threat to him or anyone else. Nobody who has been charged with all these, you know, supposed acts of insurrection, you know, none of the people that died as either on January 6th or as a result of January 6th, none of them died at the hands of these people. So Ted Cruz embracing the narrative from the left is a clear indicator that he's running in 2024. He's been told by the GOP establishment, hey, we got to get rid of Trump to make room for you, and so we've got to start now. We've got to start planting the seed that, Trump insurrection January 6th, Trump insurrection January 6th, Trump insurrection January 6th, and then you and Mike Pence can fight over who gets to, get the nomination. And we also have to try to figure out how to get rid of Ron DeSantis because we don't like him either. Okay, that's the discussion that's happening, and that's where Ted Cruz is so disappointing. Like you said, you didn't support him. You smelled him from the beginning. I did not. I did support him. Okay, so I am angry right now because I have had my doubts about him in recent years, but I always thought at the very least, you know, he's going to be on the right side of important issues. This is the first time since, as you, you know, you mentioned the Trans-Pacific Partnership, since that point, this is the first time where I can actually say wholeheartedly, 100%, he is dead wrong, and he has lost my support forever. Irredeemable at this point.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. He is irredeemable. Let's talk about the fact that what they're trying to do, I'm reading reports now that partly what they're trying to do is make it where President Trump can't even run for re-election. Tell me about this whole narrative.
Well, so two things to keep in mind. 2024 is a long way away. Okay, we have to be very careful in conservative media because we can latch on to stories like that, and we could say, you know, this sounds like something that could be something. And they're not just talking about Trump; they're talking about essentially anybody that they can connect to January 6th. They're trying to turn that into a reason why this person, that person, anybody else cannot run. Okay, but here's the thing, and we have to be very clear about this: we have to focus on getting through today and tomorrow, okay? And then beyond that, we have to be planning, sure, but here's the thing. We don't know that there's going to be a 2022 election at this point, let alone a 2024 election. So those rumors that you're hearing, and they are true, you know, you got Mark Elias is actually out there trying to connect. Anybody who's not familiar with Mark Elias, look him up. He's a very disgusting Clinton-backed individual who's the master of lawfare, which is essentially electioneering after the fact of the elections, but I digress. You know, yes, this is happening, but is it something we should actually be concerned about? No, because we can't do anything about it, first and foremost. But secondly, I think it's just a distraction. We have to focus on what's in front of us today, which you've talked about, you know, the scariest Omicron. You talked about, you know, all of the issues that you generally talk about are very, very important. And January 6th, by the way, the prisoners that are still there, that is important today because there are people's lives who are being turned upside down, who are being ruined, destroyed. And yes, there has been now two deaths as a result of the political imprisonment of these people.
What,
some of them
wait,
are patriots,
wait, wait,
some of them did
minute.
Bad things.
Wait a minute. Two of them have died in prison?
Well, died as a result. So there's a lot of loose information out there. But yes, one person died in prison because he wasn't receiving the type of treatment that he was supposed to be given. And so he died. You know, died away. Actually, I think he was dying awaiting trial. I think he went to prison, came out. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. The other alleged death is one that was, you know, one of the prisoners who was released has died. So between the two, we know there's two people who have been charged who are now dead, and we can give direct attribution to their time in the gulag as part of the detriment that ended up killing them.
And what about the number of people that died on January 6th? We all knew about Ashley Babbitt, but am I reading there was actually four people that died that day?
There were, and, you know, here's the thing. You know, we've got... It's funny that you worded it like that, because there is so much disinformation and confusion about who died, when did they die, what killed them, right? Was it four, was it six, was it eight? Did they die on January 6th, January 7th, as a result of January 6th? This is why even Merrick Garland yesterday was very obtuse, very, very, you know, he was talking about the men and women who have died I don't remember his exact wording, but it was just so perfectly worded to say there were men and women who died and they had some sort of loose involvement with January 6th. He was including even police officers that committed suicide after the fact, police officers that had, you know, at least one who was supposedly against what was happening on January 6th, who quote-unquote committed suicide despite, you know, no indication that he should have been. And then, of course, you have the people that directly died on January 6th. Two of them, I think, were trampled and one other person. But none of these people were killed by the insurrectionists, the so-called insurrectionists. And that's the key point here.
But there were conservatives that died besides Ashley Babbitt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's the thing is that you know, this narrative is so botched, so bloated, not just from mainstream media, but even from many conservative media, because, and it's not our fault, okay? They are, the information is constantly changing. That's why I don't want to go into details, because, you know, whatever we say today, brother, it may change tomorrow. We might find out that somebody who we thought was killed on January 6th is still alive today. We might find out that there were 8 people that died on January 6th, and nobody's was talking about that because they died of inconvenient means. For, you know, perhaps they were beaten by police. We're seeing videos now coming out of people who were beaten by law enforcement. I'm a big time back the blue guy, but I don't consider what happened on January 6th in the Capitol a police measure. That was a Nancy Pelosi measure. That was a Muriel Bowser measure. That was a deep state measure. That, you know, they utilized the police. And you have Ted Cruz here saying, you know, what can we learn? What can we do differently? Do what you should have done in the first place, which was, number one, you know, if you're expecting an insurrection or a riot or whatever, as both Pelosi and Bowser were, then
closed. And of course, as we're going to be, I think, doing this, Steve, every day now, doing the summary of heart of the new cities, which are closing down and being tested and being sealed with
FBI people into the crowd to try to rile them up to go into the Capitol.
And then don't open the doors and invite them in.
Don't, just come on in, guys. You know, stay between the ropes. Don't mess with the ropes. Okay, here's Nancy Pelosi's office. Here's her fridge. Here's her laptop. I mean, guys, come on. You know, this is not just a conspiracy theory. This is a true, full-blown conspiracy. The only reason there's any theory about it is because they're not telling us the whole details. But all the details that we've seen so far, all of them, point to the fact, not an assumption, this is a fact, that the official narrative about January 6th is a lie. And they're perpetuating it today, a year later. And you have to ask yourself, folks, why are they doing that? What is so important about this day, about this distraction, about this narrative? Is it against Trump? Is it against us as Trump supporters? Is it against America? Is there something that we're not even seeing? These are questions we need to be asking. We don't need to be asking, you know, why is, you know, something. I love my favorite one lately is Eric Swalwell and AOC going down to Florida without a mask. Who cares? Okay, that's embarrassing for them. And I'm apologies if you covered this, but to me, that does not deserve 45 headlines in conservative media.
Yeah, we didn't
look,
cover
Eric
that one.
Swalwell.
We didn't cover that one. Yeah.
Yeah, we have bigger issues. We have bigger fish to fry, okay? Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you for that.
Yeah, we didn't cover that one. But when we come back, I do want to cover this one. Look at this. Italy makes vax mandatory for over 50s. Ban unvaxxed from various workplaces. Here's another one. Stigmatizing the unvaccinated. Human today, not human tomorrow. I mean, it just keeps going. It just keeps going. COVID 1984 authoritarianism, a test run for greater tyranny. We'll get into all this and more in your calls. Worldview Radio, we're back. We're live. It's January 6th. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. All right, let's go to this article here. Italy makes vax mandatory for over 50s. Banned unvaxxed from various workplaces. Italy, reports Breitbart, has made vaccination against the Chinese coronavirus mandatory for over 50s in the country, as well as banning the unvaxxed from various workplaces, according to government sources. So here we are into 2022, and this is growing. This whole banning people, COVID passports, even though we know that the vaccines don't work, we know that this is a pandemic of the vax. They're spreading it. They're creating more variants. We know that the vaccine is killing people. We have talked extensively about the Indianapolis, Indiana insurance company that is showing what he described as a huge, huge increase in deaths. It looks like it's, again, deaths from people vaxxed, which if these numbers hold, means we are going to have millions and millions and millions of dead Americans who were vaxxed. And yet, there's all the evidence to say, no, we're done with this experiment. It didn't work. It's killing people. And no way are we going to mandate vax passports, because we don't want people getting vaxxed because it's a complete failure. But they're doubling down all over the world. And that's going to grow here and is growing here in America. Right, J.D. Rucker?
It is. It is definitely growing here in America. And if you want to, you know, there's I guess you could say trends work in two directions when it comes to Western society. A lot of trends start in America and work their way over to Europe and Australia. When it comes to reduction of freedoms, it's the other way around. What we see in Australia today is what we can expect to see in America tomorrow. Same thing with Europe. You know, Italy, across the board, Germany is having their thing. You know, you have Macron over in France saying, you know, basically saying that vaccinated people aren't really humans. It's ridiculous. And we can expect that to be coming here to the United States of America. And that's a real concern, not just because of the obvious, okay, not just because of the obvious, you know, healthcare issues, but, you know, I do a lot of deep analysis of these things. And when I see that this is happening, and I see the universality of the narrative and of the agenda, we know that there's only three possible reasons for this to be happening, okay? Number one, it's just, you know, and there's a prevailing, I would say this is a very big and prevailing theory, is that, you know what, Big Pharma is just so powerful, they got everybody bribed, they got everybody blackmailed, they got everybody in trouble, basically, you know, and they got control over enough of the people that they can actually, you know, keep this narrative going, okay? You got option number two, which is possible. I think it's light, but it's possible. I've heard it enough now to say, yeah, this is definitely, there's a chance this is the case. And that's the fact that you have people like Fauci, Biden, and all the presidents and prime ministers around the world, all the health ministers around the world, they've all been saying vax, vax, vax. And now that things seem to be going against the vaccine, the vax at least, it's kind of like, well, if we reverse now, then our careers are over. You know, we will have to admit that we were wrong from the beginning, and that everybody else was wrong from the beginning, and that's the only way that we can keep this going. So as long as Joe Biden is still saying it and Fauci is still saying it, you know, nobody wants to be the first one on the dance floor to say, hey, you know, I know that I've been saying all along that you guys should get vaxxed, but now we're looking at the data, and it's probably killing you, so let's not do that. That politician's gone and will be not just out of a job, but probably ostracized and potentially even murdered. Don't want to get into that whole conspiracy theory. But the last one, briefly, the last theory is that this really is powers and principalities. This really is the New World Order, the World Economic Forum, the, you know, agenda, whatever agenda. There's so many of them out there. The Great Reset, you know, 2030, whatever it is, all that is so real and in complete control of what's happening in governments across the globe. That I think you could already tell that, for me, that being the most evil and nefarious and, you know, far-fetched idea is probably the one, to me, that's most likely, simply because it is universal. Every government has adopted this. Any president who has spoken out against the vaccines in the last year, year and a half, has mysteriously, inexplicably died. There have been four of them. Four world leaders, all four of them against the vaccines, all four of them now dead.
And most Americans don't even know what you're talking about right now, do they?
No, they don't. Because this is, you know, in America, we're still stuck on CNN or Fox News, okay? MSNBC, maybe. That's what so many of the people are still trying to get their news from there. But here's the good news, is that alternative media, you know, fringe media, non-mainstream media, whatever you want to call it, is getting more and more popular, right? You know, your shows, your listenership is going up. My various media properties, the traffic and the listenership is going up. You see sites like the Gateway Pundit that gets more views now than CNN or MSNBC very easily. So they're starting to lose the narrative. The only question now is, can we keep this momentum against the mainstream narrative? Can we keep this up long enough? Or will they be able to brainwash enough people before we can actually get the truth out there? And at this point, I don't know, brother. It's in God's hands. It could go in either direction, and neither direction would surprise me.
Look at this article. This is coming from our buddy Patrick Wood over at technocracy.news. Stigmatizing the unvaccinated. Human today, not human tomorrow. In a horrifying altercation, a German police officer denounced the humanity of the unvaccinated. This is but one sign that mass formation psychosis is at work. The mass formation psychosis is the explanation for how the Germans accepted the atrocities of the Nazi Party in the 1930s, and its explanation for why so many around the world support medical apartheid and the dehumanization of the unvaccinated now. The stigmatization of the unvaxxed is all the more irrational when you consider that the COVID shot doesn't prevent infection or spread of the virus. Fully vaxxed individuals are just as infectious and dangerous as the unjabbed. While high-level officials continue to use the term pandemic of the unvaccinated, suggesting the COVID jabs play no role in the epidemiology of COVID-19, there's ample evidence that the fully vaccinated have a relevant role in transmission and outbreaks. And he goes into the details. But here we are. I mean, again, this is, it's as though Germany never learned anything from the Holocaust. You know, this nation, the people of Germany, should be absolutely embarrassed because they clearly have learned nothing from their sins as a nation from the Holocaust. And they're just they're falling right back into it so easily, so willingly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which tells me they brainwashed their people by not teaching enough about the Holocaust. I bet you they did not repent of their sins as a nation by teaching extensively on the horrors of the Holocaust and what their own country did. I bet they didn't. What do you bet?
I do. I wholeheartedly agree. But even if they did, here's the problem with society in the digital age, okay? Our society has turned narcissistic in the last two decades. I mean, and not just ours in America, I'm saying ours in the world. World society has become narcissistic and has, even if we were taught everything that we needed to be taught about the past, nobody cares. Everybody is really focused on themselves and their today and their future, which tells us that if they make the decision to get jabbed, any human who makes the decision to get jabbed, confirmation bias demands that they also want others to get jabbed, because the more people that do get jabbed, even if they regret it themselves privately, the more people that do get jabbed, the more, I guess you could say, justifiable their own mistake was. Okay, I'm not saying that everybody who's injected and that they're suddenly regretting it. I think most people have been brainwashed and thinking, oh yeah, no, this is totally protecting me. You know, you had Kennedy over at Fox Business or Fox Nation or whatever the other day. She's like, look, I got COVID before. I had natural immunity. I then got jabbed. I've been triple jabbed. And then I got COVID again. What the heck's going on here? You know, she legitimately, on live television, was shocked that she got it. Whoopi Goldberg is just positive. She's triple jabbed. Okay, the Today Show host, triple jabbed. Concerned, confused. And they always come back to the same thing. What do they always say? Well, but my doctor tells me that if I wasn't jabbed, that my infection would be much, much, much worse. I would probably be hospitalized and died. That's not what the data is showing, folks. That's just what the narrative is. Because the narrative that it stops the infection, obviously that's false. So they have to switch the narrative that is unprovable, you know, the one that you cannot balk against, the narrative that, hey, if you're jabbed, you're less likely to be hospitalized or killed. Okay, that narrative is one that you cannot disprove. Because, you know, you can't go back in time and say, okay, well, this person is jabbed and they they caught COVID. You know, let's see what happens if we unjab them and see if they catch COVID and see if it's worse for them. You can't prove that just because you're jabbed that your COVID infection was any less severe than it would have been if you aren't jabbed, except that's the common narrative. That's the ones floating around here. We're in a time in our society, in our world, that is so dangerous. And I think it was, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who said the other day, he said, you know, never before has a government asked, you know, adults to force their children to sacrifice for their sake. It's always been the other way around. You know, humanity, in the modern era, has always been one, you know what, let's protect the children, okay? Let's do whatever we have to do as adults to protect the children. Today, the narrative is we've got to jab the kids to protect the adults because the kids, they, you know, science very clearly shows that they have essentially zero, you know, as close to zero as possible risk from COVID. But we got to jab all of them so that we can protect the adults.
Well, and we're also reading...
This is not even humanity anymore.
No, it's not. And we're also now reading of a woman in Germany that has lost her children because she questioned children in prison. German officers violently removed kids from mother critical of COVID measures. Okay? So she just questioned the COVID measures, and German government went in and kidnapped her children. Here's another, just a couple of headlines. We're going to open the phone lines. Just to give us an overview of what's happening in the world. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Austria legalizes assisted suicide to kill disabled people. Austria. Okay. Again, did these morons not learn from the Holocaust? The T4 program. The T4 program was really how the Holocaust began, where the German people requested through the private death centers to murder their own disabled children. We know that much of the killing machines were developed by private doctors and then just advanced by Hitler. The T4 program. So here's Austria legalizing assisted suicide to kill disabled people. We can just keep going down this list. Soviet Canada. Doctor locked in psych ward who exposed stillbirth explosion in vaccinated moms. Now again, the Soviets would have you confined to a psych ward if you didn't go along with their agenda. They're doing that in Canada. We just keep going down the list and we find life insurance CEO says deaths up 40% among those age 18 to 64. Now, we go now to an article by Dr. Malone, who's referring to that insurance case, and he's saying, wait a minute, this is pretty troubling. He says, furthermore, we have been living through the most massive, globally coordinated propaganda and censorship campaign in the history of the human race. All major mass media and social media technology companies have coordinated to stifle and suppress any discussion of the risk of the genetic vaccines and or alternative treatments. If this report holds true about the 40% dead, there must be accountability. We're not just talking about running over the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and grinding it into the mud with an army of artificial intelligence-powered heavy infantry. This article reads like a dry description of an avoidable mass casualty event. We'll be right back. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. My guest is J.D. Rucker with NOQReport.com, NOQReport.com. And this article by Dr. Malone let me just finish the last sentence. This article reads like a dry description of an avoidable mass casualty event caused by a mandated experimental medical procedure, one for which all opportunities for the victims to have become self-informed about the potential risk have been methodically erased from both the internet and public awareness by an international corrupt cabal operating under the flag of the Trusted News Initiative. George Orwell must be spinning in his grave. I hope I'm wrong. I fear I'm right. And for those who don't know, if we go to the phone lines real quick, make sure that our audience understands who Dr. Malone is, J.D.
Dr. Malone is he's the inventor of the mRNA technology that's used in Pfizer's and Moderna's jabs, as well as AstraZeneca and several others around the world. He's not an anti-vaxxer, not a traditional one. He helped to invent technology that would help to transmit the vaccines. That's what gives him so much credibility, because he's looking at the data and he's getting red-pilled by it. You know? I mean, there's no other way to put it. He's getting red-pilled by the fact that his life's work is being used to push something that he sees clearly, based on the science, is not only not working, but is actually doing more damage than the disease itself.
And, of course, every day social media is filled with, I saw one today, a 13-year-old boy got his shot and now he's dead. Every day is filled with pilots, athletes, average citizens, get the shot dead. I guess it's come out now that Betty White had a couple boosters.
So that one, I haven't read the fact check on it. There was a social media post allegedly from her that said that she got boosted on December 28th, okay, shortly before her death. But there was a fact check that came out that Google was promoting. I haven't actually read it yet, so... but if the fact that they put it out there, either there's good evidence or they're trying to dispel it. I would say chances are, since we haven't seen much of this covered on a lot of the alternative media sites, the chances are it was just a fake news, a false rumor. But we'll see. I won't confirm that until I actually see what, actual. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Google fact checks are legitimate. 9 times out of 10, they're not. But at least they'll be able to point us in a direction to see, was she actually jabbed for the third time just prior to her death or not?
Well, she wouldn't even have to be. I don't know if she's even given the shot once or twice. That's enough for me. Let's go to Danny, line one. Danny in New Mexico, thanks for calling in, Danny.
Yeah, Robert Malone is a virologist. Follow him. He's got great information. I just wanted to say about history may not necessarily repeat, but it rhymes. It's because we don't study history. They won't teach history. First thing you want to do is eliminate knowing where you've been so you don't know where you're going.
Absolutely. Confusion, no parameters, no foundation. You know, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do, right? Jamie, line two. Jamie, thank you for calling in. Jamie, go right ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to encourage you or some others that you know to put out information that's maybe printable so the average person who doesn't have time to look all this up can distribute it and get the facts out.
That's what we do, Jamie. He does it at NOQReport.com. That's his website's full of it, NOQReport.com. If you go to my website that we've been reading from, WorldviewReport.com, it's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of links to articles. Everything we've referenced today is a link to an article at worldviewreport.com, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Also, if you go to the website worldviewreport.com, you can watch my news broadcast from last night. Every day we release. I have been getting to the news desk, and I have been recording my news reports. I was able to do that, but that's about all I was able to do. But I had to keep that one thing going. And so if you want to go watch my nightly newscast, it's available right now as the feature article at worldviewreport.com. It's a 30-minute straight newscast on demand, just old-fashioned like Peter Jennings used to do, just straight news. But the difference is almost all of the news that we're presenting was censored. We're uncensoring it and bringing you the news you're not going to hear on any typical news broadcast, nightly news broadcast. So hope you'll check that out as well. 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to Anon in Minnesota, line 4. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Brandon, for your show and also for your information about Swiss America, which I've been able to use that.
Oh, but, thank you. Thank you.
A friend of mine recently had COVID, and through a friend, he got some ivermectin, and he took it within 3 days. He was fine.
Yeah.
And the narrative we're looking at is just, it's a clown car.
Yeah. Do you know, Annan, I tried fighting this off with my own immune system. The ivermectin, I wanted to save it and have it for family. I wanted to have it for other family members. We had acquired it a few months ago, and in case this came about, so we could get it, because it's getting harder to get. So I wanted to save it. And so I was not quick to go onto it. My wife, I put her on it on HCQ. We decided HCQ for her over the ivermectin. Wish in hindsight we'd gone to the ivermectin, because I think ivermectin is now proving to work better than the HCQ. But she went on the HCQ mixed with zinc, C, D, and she was on an antibiotic. I tried to fight it off with my own immune system, couldn't. Was getting worse. And so less than 24 hours after getting on ivermectin combined with zinc and the other things, because ivermectin opens the cell, the zinc goes in and kills the virus, less than 24 hours, I was actually able to get up and have some energy, whereas before I just couldn't even really get up other than go to the bathroom and go right back to bed. I was sleeping 15-16 hours a day. Within 48 hours, here I am. I actually have the energy. Yeah, I'm coughing a little bit and all, but I have energy. I have an appetite. I have energy. It's night and day. And yet, JD, this is being denied to most American people. In fact, we see over in, I can't remember what country it was, but one country, some doctor was thrown in jail for prescribing it.
Well, I hadn't heard about that. I know that it should be very easily accessible here. But they're not just going after the doctors. You can find doctors to prescribe it. Now they're actually going after, obviously, the pharmacies and the pharmacists who are not, basically claiming that, we're out or we don't have any or sorry, we don't put that out there without this, that, or the other, or we're limiting how much we put out. They're even trying to go after the shipping companies.
Yes. Here, let me get Lee.
People from getting it there.
Let me get Lee in. Lee, line one. Lee, go real quick. Get you in, Lee.
Yeah, just recently I asked at our local Walgreens if they had ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. They said they would only give it out with a prescription and a diagnosis.
Ah, see, there you go. All right, J.D. Rucker, his website, noqreport.com. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.